Welcome into Believe in Texas A&M. I'm Mandy Knight, joined by former Texas A&M quarterback Reggie McNeil Sr., also known as Reggie Mack. Reggie, how are you doing today?
Life is great. You know, I mean, we took a tough L this past weekend, but other than that, you know, we're moving right along.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, playing quarterback at Texas A&M, I mean, obviously you've been through the trenches as a football player at A&M. And so looking at that loss against Ole Miss on Saturday, why do you think that there should still be a lot of hope for this A&M team? I mean, granted, they're only down by a few points in the fourth quarter.
Man, you know, it's one of those situations where it was a tale of two halves. They controlled the line of scrimmage the first half. And if we play how we supposed to play from jump, we got another win, and we go on the road and we get that win against Ole Miss. I mean, but they overall just played a better game than we did. I mean, from start to finish, we didn't play a complete game, and I mean, it's tough to watch because I mean, you know where you can be and where you should be at week eight, week nine of the season, and then you come out and you play a game not to where the level that you're supposed to be playing is what we all expected as fans, is tough to sit and watch. But I mean, just knowing Jimbo and the resiliency of the team, and they'll bounce back.
Oh, without a doubt. And in Jimbo's weekly press conference on Monday, he mentioned that it seemed like every time maybe they made an inch here, you know, made some progress, something else went wrong, whether it be a flag or anything. And it's almost like everyone took turns during that game of doing something that kind of ended up, you know, hurting them in the end.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, and those type of plays are always drive killers. And then if you get a stop on a second or third down, then you add a flag to it. And I mean, it just kills the momentum of everything you're trying to do. And I mean, and it was out the norm to see it coming from our defense, especially from both sides, really. It was, I mean, because you're used to seeing a certain level being played at on a weekly basis, and seeing some of the mistakes that we were making is frustrating because it's so late in the season and we're making those type of mistakes. But I mean, like I said, man, Jimbo, they'll get it all together. It's one of those games late in the season. And you think about it, throughout college football, it was a bunch of those, I wouldn't say trap games, because ours was more of a big-time game with two ranked teams. And having to go to Ole Miss, it's a tough place to play.
Without a doubt. And Jimbo, also something that they've been, preaching this season, and it's a kind of a football coaching cliche, but I think, you know, they eat, breathe, and sleep it. It's a faceless opponent. And obviously, you know, of course, you don't want to put too much vested into one game and then, you know, take something off here. And Fisher, his explanation for that was saying that you focus on yourself. It's about preparation of who you're playing. It should not matter. And someone actually asked Fisher about that in the press conference. And after his response, he said, you know what? Thank you. That made me happy. That made yeah, my day. But, you know, when you played quarterback at A&M, what were some of the not necessarily coaching cliches, but some of maybe the mottos that your team kind of rallied around?
I mean, it was kind of pretty much the same stuff. I mean, we looked at a lot of stuff like state playoffs in Texas. I mean, you is a 1 week season. It's not like the NFL where you can go and lay an egg 1 week and then bounce back and you're okay. College playoffs in Texas, you have to show up on a week-to-week basis, no matter who you're playing, because everybody want to beat you. If you're at the top, they want to beat you because you're at the top. If you're mid, if you're in the middle, they want to beat you because they playing you. So, however you put it, whoever you're playing against, if you're not prepared, you will take some on the chin, and it is not a good feeling.
Without a doubt. And, you know, looking at A&M, it is unbelievable. Their whole quarterback situation. I mean, Jimbo said it was a very tight race, you know, heading into the season. Obviously Haynes was named the starter, and then he has that season ending injury. Zach Calzada comes in, and I mean, and obviously it took maybe a game or so to get his feet under him, but I mean, that kid has a lot of talent, and that whole locker room, they say how tough he is. I mean, we've seen him get hurt bad in a game. I mean, the man dislocated his shoulder.
His left side is messing. So yeah, I mean, he's a warrior. I mean, you have to respect it. I mean, win, lose, or draw, you have to respect a kid like that. And I mean, you hear people in the outside talking, but it's you have to respect the kid that goes out and lay it on the line for you on a weekly basis. And that's why everybody in the locker room has joined around him and came and just pushed him along. I mean, at the beginning of it, from being around and being over there throughout the summer, everybody was rallying around Haynes. Everybody. everybody, the locker room, everybody loved Haynes. It was just, I mean, and I said when I talked to him, is that East Texas in it. I'm from East Texas, and I see it. And he got that East Texas swag where he's not trying to be cool, but it look to the people on the outside where he's trying to be, but he's not. It's just, that's just how he is. And he won that whole locker room over at the beginning. And then to see how the team rallied around Calzada, that just shows you the team aspect of it and how everybody there is just, they all there for each other.
For sure. I mean, that's a sign of a great locker room, family atmosphere. And a couple more thoughts on this game. I mentioned it earlier in the fourth quarter, you know, A&M, they were down 15-13. I mean, they were in awful field position. That's when that interception happened. It went off of Demond Demas's hands. And, you know, it was a little bit of a high throw, but, you know, games, obviously it doesn't come down to one or two plays, but I mean, a huge momentum swing like that. I mean, you're down by two in the fourth quarter, A&M. I mean, they could have very well likely, driven all the way down the field and scored a go-ahead touchdown or even, you know, kicked a field goal. But little plays like that, I mean, the fact that it went the other way, it ended up being an interception. When you look at plays like that, you know, what's the biggest thing you think that this A&M team can learn maybe, you know, from that play and that kind of swing of a game momentum?
Coach, they always tell you the play come to you because you never know which play gonna be that play, the one that you're talking about. So you never know. So we consistently told, make the simple play. Just make the play, because you never know which one gonna be the big play. And another play that sticks out of my mind after the game, because I go train my quarterbacks afterwards, and one of my kids asked me about the play. Same Demond Demas, I love him to death. They threw the fade ball to the back of the end zone. He jumped up, should have had the catch, hit right off his hand. And I told my kid, I said, but you look at his eyes. I said, his eyes went from the soon as the ball took, but he was trying to see where his feet were. Granted, he was trying to make sure his feet was in bounds. That's why he took his eyes off the ball and dropped the ball. I said, and I tell him that. So I say, listen, when a play like that presents itself, because they don't come often, when they present itself, you have to make them. I mean, you don't get a lot of big plays in college. So when they present themselves, they have to be made. And we have the time. I mean, they understand that. And I mean, the plays that should have been made, we didn't make. And I mean, eventually ended up costing us.
Very good point. It's always take it one play at a time. You got to, you know, catch the ball first and then move forward. But I do think that A&M will definitely learn a lot from this game. I mean, they have what it takes to make a deep run, hopefully.
Yeah. And I mean, our defense was on the field for 60 plays in the first half. And as fast paced as Mississippi was going, I mean, we was only down 15-3 at halftime, or 15. We wasn't out of the game.
Yeah.
And they had ran 60 plays compared to our 25. Defense was on the field the whole first half, and we were down two scores tops. So the intensity was still there. We played decent. Could we play better? Yes. But I mean, it's like you said, it's looking promising over there. It is.
You know, it seems like every single week, some reporters asking Jimbo, oh, you know, are you going to stay at A&M? Are you going to stay at A&M? I mean, and he has the same response every week. But, you know, this week at his press conference on Monday, he actually said something. Sometimes people, they need something that they can actually understand. Okay, this man, he's staying here. So he talked about this. He's like, hey, think about this. Why in the, we have one of the greatest recruiting classes coming in. Why in the world would I bring these guys in and then have to play against them? It's just like, you know, and after he said that, I'm like, you know what? Some people that really don't understand what goes into coaching and everything like that, that's something simple that makes 100% sense. It's like, why would he spend all that time, invest all those, you know, hours with all those kids to bring him in just to leave? And that man, he loves A&M without a doubt.
I mean, so you, it's no other environment like it. I mean, we went, I took my son and one of my quarterbacks to Arizona State. We sit in there. It's a packed crowd. I think they're about 5,000-6,000 short of a sellout. We sit in there. They yelling. They screaming. And me and my son, we like three seats down, and we can talk. We can talk without overly doing it.
Yeah.
And he looked at me. He said, "Daddy, this ain't nothing like A&M." I know, right? He was like, "Man, A&M, we be right beside each other. They can't hear each other." I said, it's a totally different environment than anywhere in the country. Mm-hmm. People can talk about it, say what you want, but if you go in there and you look around and you understand what's happening, man, it's a super special place. I mean, he, like you said, he recruiting all these kids And then why would he go to LSU? Now I can see if it was another conference, maybe. But you, yeah, he gonna have to play these kids 3-4 years.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
they have to have something to talk about, right?
Yeah, that's true. It's like, come on, stop trying to make up that narrative. You know, I think that the era of Jimbo Fisher, he has something special. I mean, he's called the quarterback whisperer for a reason. You know,
right. And man, when not to take it, because I love, like I said, I love Haynes to death, and I hate the fact that he had to get hurt this year, because it's gonna put him and Connor on the same, almost the same playing field, because who has experience? Neither one of them. Mm-hmm. Haynes been in the system a little longer, but as far as actual game experience, so now you don't have three quarterbacks. But I mean, and luckily, I mean, it's a good thing to have when you got three kids that can play. Like this year, if something was to happen Calzada with Showers, and I don't think they switched him to tight end, and then we got the walk-on kid. But yeah, so having three kids that can get out there and play, that's gonna be a big help for us too. And see, I mean, we got the class that's coming in next year. I mean, we have some things that's in the making that is gonna be pretty special over there. And
excited to talk about their matchup against Prairie View A&M. And you can find that on Thursday, and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday to hear our latest episode on Believe in Texas A&M.